In today's news headlines, President Joe Biden on Thursday gave his first national public address from the White House 50 days into his tenure and 1 year into the coronavirus pandemic. He made the case that his administration was using all available means to fight the virus.
That's why I'm using every power I have as President of the United States to put us on a war footing to get the job done. Sounds like hyperbole, but I mean it, a war footing.
Biden emphasized the efforts toward vaccinating hard-to-reach communities.
We've made it possible for you to get a vaccine at nearly any one of 10,000 pharmacies across the country, just like you get your flu shot. We're also working with governors and mayors in red states and blue states to set up and support nearly 600 federally supported vaccination centers that administers hundreds of thousands of shots per day.
The president also laid out an ambitious agenda of beating his goal of 100 million vaccines in his first 100 days and announced that Americans would have universal access to vaccines by May 1st.
I can say we're not only going to meet that goal, we're going to beat that goal because we're actually on track to reach this goal of 100 million shots in arms on my 60th day in office. No other country in the world has done this. None. I'm announcing that I will direct all states, tribes, and territories to make all adults, people 18 and over, eligible to be vaccinated no later than May 1.
Mr. Biden reminded Americans of the importance of remaining vigilant and adhering to social distancing guidelines, even as the vaccination efforts ramped up.
We need everyone to get vaccinated. We need everyone to keep washing their hands, stay socially distanced, and keep wearing the mask as recommended by the CDC. Because even if we devote every resource we have, beating this virus and getting back to normal depends on national unity.
That's Joe Biden on Thursday in his first primetime address from the White House as president. Yet another vaccine maker has announced positive results for clinical trials of its product. Novavax's COVID-19 vaccine has a 96.4% efficacy rate against the original strain of the virus after third stage trials. This is on par with Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines that are being widely used in the U.S. However, against the South Africa variant of the virus, Novavax's second stage trial showed only a 48.6% efficacy, although it still offered 100% protection against severe symptoms and deaths. Neither Pfizer nor Moderna have tested their vaccines against the South Africa variant yet. In other vaccine news, the U.S. is apparently sitting on a massive stockpile of AstraZeneca's vaccines, which have yet to be approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Europe, which has approved that vaccine, has asked to tap into American supplies. But some nations are rejecting the vaccine altogether based on claims that it causes blood clots. The World Health Organization has maintained there is no evidence yet linking AstraZeneca's vaccine to blood clots. In spite of Mr. Biden's exhortations for Americans to get vaccinated, a whopping 30% of Americans say they would refuse the shot. This number includes 41% of all Republicans. In spite of social media crackdowns, anti-vax claims continue to proliferate online. The leading anti-vaccine activist, Robert Kennedy, who has been banned from Instagram for spreading baseless conspiracy theories, has now released a documentary which audaciously uses the virus's outsized impact on black communities to weaponize anti-vaccine sentiments. According to NBC, quote, the hour-long film, which relies heavily on the U.S. Public Health Service syphilis study at Tuskegee, promotes false claims that COVID-19 vaccination efforts are part of a larger, sinister experiment on black communities. Additionally, the New York Times on Friday reported that evidence suggests that some sexual and gender minorities, especially people of color, are hesitant to be vaccinated because of mistrust of the medical establishment. A new AP NORC poll found that a year into the pandemic, poor people and people of color have borne the brunt of the resulting economic devastation. Meanwhile, the Washington Post concluded that the, quote, wealth of nine of the country's top titans has increased, by more than $360 billion in the past year. They included Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg. The paper explained that, quote, Amazon benefited while consumers shopped from home, as many of its brick-and-mortar rivals struggled to keep pace. Google, Facebook, and Microsoft helped power the new work-and-learn-from-home reality. In other news, Senator Bernie Sanders plans to bring the issue of union efforts by Amazon warehouse workers to Washington, D.C. next week. The Vermont senator, who chairs the powerful Senate Budget Committee, has invited an organizer from an Alabama warehouse who is organizing others to vote for a union. Sanders has also invited Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Meanwhile, the Guardian newspaper covered the appalling conditions under which Amazon's delivery drivers are forced to work and how, quote, the Teamsters Union is now working with drivers on the issue. The Biden Labor Department on Thursday ended two rules enacted by the Trump administration that weakened federal worker protections. The White House has announced that those qualifying for stimulus checks under the newly passed American Rescue Plan could see direct deposits as soon as this weekend. Both the Democratic and Republican parties are rushing to define perceptions of the massive bill that is seen as the most ambitious expansion of government social safety net in decades. Senator Sanders on Thursday denounced Republicans who had voted against the COVID relief bill over cost objections, but who then went on to make the case for permanently ending real estate taxes. Sanders called it, quote, total hypocrisy. Some Republicans are even going as far as claiming credit for the benefits of the COVID relief bill that they voted against. Biden's next agenda items on immigration and infrastructure are already shaping up to face strong Republican opposition. On the immigration front, Biden just rescinded Trump's so-called public charge rule that barred those applying for legal status from accepting government aid. Meanwhile, border facilities are getting overwhelmed with a new surge of unaccompanied minors and are keeping those minors in facilities longer than allowed. Arizona's Republican-led legislature just passed a surprising bill granting undocumented students in the state to pay in-state tuition at colleges and universities. The Los Angeles Police Department was found to have severely mishandled Black Lives Matter protests in LA last year, as per a new report. As jury selection in Derek Chauvin's trial for the murder of George Floyd continues in Minneapolis, the judge there has added a third-degree murder charge. And the Minneapolis City Council just approved a $27 million settlement in a civil suit brought by Floyd's family. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing a new threat to his political career, this time from Democrats who are leading an impeachment inquiry. And Deb Haaland finally won Senate confirmation to assume the head of the Interior Department. She becomes the nation's first Indigenous Interior Secretary. Finally, on his first day as U.S. Attorney General, Merrick Garland announced he would prioritize an investigation into the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The DOJ is working to build a large conspiracy case against the Oath Keepers group over its activities in the riot. And former President Trump is facing growing numbers of civil and criminal lawsuits over his incitement of insurrection in the incident. And that does it for our news headlines.